Welcome to the Side Hustlepreneur Podcast, where business, faith, and inspiration connect to all things side hustle related. My name is Faye, aka the Side Hustlepreneur, and I created this platform for everyday individuals like you to learn how to monetize your God-given skills and talents. So gather around, turn up the volumes, and let's get started. What's going on, Side Hustle family? Happy Wednesday. Today's episode is for my product-based entrepreneurs. I had the opportunity to interview Jen of Cupcakeology, which is a small business academy for bakers. On this episode, Jen shares her journey on how she went from being a home-based baker to owning a storefront in the airport, opening her own bakery, and her business gaining exposure on the Steve Harvey Show. Jen shared a wealth of knowledge for individuals interested in building that six-figure product-based business. Whatever you need to get these notes down, I suggest you pause and go get it right now. As always, if you haven't already subscribed to the podcast or rated the podcast, make sure you do that today because it really helps me out. But anywho, let's jump right into the episode. What's going on, Side Hustle family? I am so excited. Happy Wednesday. You guys already know, once a month, I bring somebody on here who is out here killing it in the world with their business. And this person, you know, me and her have a connection because a lot of you guys know I started my side hustle. One of my side hustles was baking. I did a lot of baking of cakes, cupcakes, and all of that. But the person I have on here today, she had a whole bakery, okay? I didn't get to that level, but she had a whole bakery. And so she's built a multiple six-figure business just around the baking industry. And she got some secrets and some gems that she's going to drop with you guys today. For those of you all who have product-based businesses that you are looking to expand and grow, I think she is the perfect person that you guys want to listen to because she has some tips on how to get started on a budget, how to get started when maybe you didn't go to school, right? And all these other things. So I'm excited to have Jen on the show today. Me and her connected on Instagram, and I'm so excited that we finally actually get to meet, not necessarily in person, but, you know, virtually. Jen, welcome to the Side Hustlepreneur Podcast. Thank you for being here.
Yes, hey girl, how you doing? I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. I'm so excited for this
talk. Of course. And I'm excited to have you. Like I said, we've been following each other for quite some time. And so I've seen, you know, what you've been doing. And I think it's amazing because product-based businesses are not always the easiest. Brick and mortar is not always the easiest. And so for you to have built such a success around both of those things, knowing the challenges that it presents itself sometime, I think it's really amazing. So,
Thank you.
Now, before we get started, you already know we had this conversation. I do not read bio and introductions. I like people to brag about themselves because if you're not going to brag on here, where else are you going to brag on about yourself? So go ahead and share with the audience who you are, what you do, and anything else you want to share.
Okay, so y'all sure y'all ready for this? No. So as she mentioned, my name is Jen Morris. I am the founder and CEO of Cupcakeology LLC. And me and my husband, well, first let me say this started, me and my husband were young, ambitious, always had side hustles. Let me say that. Okay, so I was in a real estate game. That real estate was my side hustle. Mortgage was my main hustle. And he had all types of construction, home inspection, side hustle business, all types of things. Okay, so we always had like multiple jobs up under us. But it was just because we were trying to figure out a way to just work for ourselves, do something different than we just, you know, saw. Go to school, get a job,
yep.
Live, you know, retire at 65, blah, 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 blah. Yes. Boring, okay? So we had these two young kids. We wanted to do something different. But I wanted to be a mother. I love nothing more than watching my kids just evolve and mature and grow. And I wanted to be there to watch that every moment. And the only way I could see that, because it wasn't working for someone else, the only way I could see that was to work for myself and make it work. And that, honestly, being rich, multi-million, I didn't care about any of that. I just wanted to be home with them, enjoy all life's adventures with them. So we circled back around to baking. I said, well, you know, we literally eat dessert every day of the week, every night of the week, literally since I was like two, right? So we circle back around to baking. That's where we met. We met kind of in the food and baking world, Old Country Buffet. We met as teenagers. And he said, let's do it. So we opened, we started the baking business in our home. I'm not going to say we opened up. That's far down the line. But we started the baking business in our home. And it's been an adventure ever since. So, you know, and you'll hear more about this in my story. But, you know, it evolved into our from our home, food truck, commercial kitchen inside an office building, which was crazy. And then, you know, an airport kiosk, and then eventually evolved into our brick and mortar store 5 years later. So yes, it's an adventure. Yes, it was the most amazing 10 years of our lives. We got to homeschool our children in there, and they learned all types of life, money, fractions with cupcake pans and baking cups and all types of things. But we built the life that works for us. And it may not look like anybody else's, but, you know, God laid something on our heart and said, you know, you have an assignment, you know, and everybody's assignment is not glitz and glam. And, you know, you know, like I said, I just wanted to be able to open up so many doors of opportunities for us, for our kids, and entrepreneurship, business ownership for us was the key to that freedom to do that.
I love that. I love, there's a lot of things that you said there. I love the fact that you guys had a vision. You guys had specific values that you had, values and vision for your kids and for your family, and you made your life work around that. You know, like you guys took what you wanted to do. How do you guys see your kids growing? Okay, let's homeschool them. You knew that the only way that you'd be able to live the life that you desired was by creating something for yourselves. And I love the fact that you guys took risks. Like you said, we had a food truck, we were baking in our home, we had the airport kiosk, we did the brick and mortar. Like, for me, it sounds like there was no fear. You know, like it was like, and it's not necessarily to say no fear, but it was like there was feel the fear and do it anyway, essentially, you know what I mean? And so it was like you guys took the risk in each place and figured out what was going to work for you guys. And if it worked, it worked. If it didn't, it didn't. But you still got that experience. And I think that's why you guys are able to be able to come and tell your story. And you guys have seen the success that you've seen because you still took the risk and bet on yourself. Now, with that said, I want to kind of go back a little bit because you guys met, if I read correctly, in Old Country Buffet, and you guys connected there. Now, if you're young, you probably don't know what the Old Country Buffet is. I used to go there when I was a kid, so I'm very familiar with the Old Country Buffet. But what was interesting is you didn't say that, oh, we went to culinary school and we met in, you know, doing a patisserie class or something like that, you know. So why baking? Even though you guys met in like the food industry, what was it that said, you know what, let's do cupcakes, let's do something in the baking industry? How did you get to that point?
Because that was my heart and soul, right? So he had the commercial kitchen food industry background, where I was the home baker. So that part I didn't mention, because my entrepreneurial journey started when I was 9 years old.
Okay.
And my father did not even think about giving his kids allowance for doing some chores in the house. Like, he was just like, that's ridiculous. I don't know where it came from. And no, not in this household. But, you know, growing up, you have, you know, the corner store up the street, 7-Eleven. I wanted a Slurpee with my friends. I wanted to get a Twix candy bar with my friends, you know, so how was I going to get this money if I'm not getting allowance? And he's just not going to give it to me. So I took a pound cake recipe that I found in a drawer that my mom used to make, and I kind of tweaked it a little bit. I was always in the kitchen. I was that kid in the kitchen, but I adopted the dessert, the sweet palate, you know, that sweet tooth from my dad. And I still, to this day, he eats dessert with his glass of milk every single night, you know, and so do I. And in my household, it's dessert before dinner now, just because we can't wait. But So I would just take that pound cake recipe and I tweaked it and I made it my own. Yeah. And then I said, well, shoot, I could sell pieces of this. So I would slice it up, cut it up, make it into cupcakes, pound cake loaves, slices. And I would take those things out on the corner of my block, set up a table and chairs, tablecloth, and make some iced tea. And I was literally selling those pound cakes on the corner of my block. So I would make my coin and take it on up to 7-Eleven and spend it all.
Go eat your Slurpee.
You know? So that's where it all started. So to answer your question, I always loved baking, putting things together, the chemistry of it. It always enlightened me. The one thing I didn't like about the baking, and I try to get away with it with my baking business, was the decorating. I didn't care what it looked like. For me, it was all about the taste. I hate when I go into a bakery. Or you're at a wedding. Ooh, even worse. Girl, and you staring at that cake and you're like, ooh,
can't wait. And it's dry.
And they put that thing on your plate and it tastes like cardboard.
Oh my gosh.
That is the worst experience. Yes. So for me, it was like, can you spend a little bit less time making it look pretty and more time making it taste good, please?
Yes.
And thank you.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Listen, you just said a mouthful, because one thing, I don't know if it's just like people who bake, but when it comes to cakes, like I'll be looking at a birthday cake like, oh no, I'm going to stay because I want to see how the cake tastes. And then it gets on your plate sometimes before you even taste it, you could just look at it and just know it's just not going to be it. And like my husband now, because we've been dating for 9, almost 10 years and married for 5. And so he like knows too, when we go out, he'll be like, yeah, I don't think this cake is going to be good. Like, I don't think it's not. Did you taste it? And I'm like, nope, it's fine. So yes, flavors and taste before look. But yeah, so basically baking has always been a thing for you. So you said, okay, you know what? Was it that people, by the time you got to a point of saying, let's launch the business, was it that people had already known you for being the home baker, or no?
No, because, you know, we're not living in the times where we are in today, where if our kids say, even just you see them peering at the sky, you're like, oh, he's going to be an astronaut. Let me go and put him into astronaut classes, right? Like back then, like I said, it was just about straight and narrow. Okay, what do you want to do? Or you're in high school now. What are you going to do? Go to college. And that's all it was about. So I really didn't have, if my parents knew or had that entrepreneurial spirit in them, or even they would have nurtured it, but they didn't, right? They didn't nurture it. So it kind of fell by the wayside, because by the time I turned 16, okay, I need like a real job. So they said, like, go get a real job. But I had a job. I was making my own money. And it could have been bigger, because I was the neighborhood baker. You know, I would bake the cakes and my dad would decorate them, because like I said, I didn't want parts. But I was the neighborhood baker. My aunt worked at Verizon down Center City, Philadelphia. And the whole building ordered from me. Like, it could have been something bigger, you know, earlier. So no one knew me as the home baker, because I went to high school, I got a job, and at 16, Old Country Buffet, and I haven't stopped working since then until I circled back around. So.
Yeah, but you already had that experience, and so you remembered when it came down to, okay, this is the type of life that I want to do, the type of life that I want to live. What are some things that I can explore as far as, you know, entrepreneurship? And so baking kind of came to mind. How did your husband, what was your husband's reaction to that when you said, you know what, let's start something in the baking industry?
I'm not going back in the kitchen.
I will never forget.
Babe, I'm not going back in that kitchen. I mean, because food is tough. It is. Tough. It's tiring. The food industry, I don't care if you're baking, if you're making juices, I don't care if you're doing yogurt. It's tough. And so that was a big chunk of his life, even though he moved up in the ranks and he got the white shirt and suit, you know, the shirt and tie, he went to corporate, right? But he still had to be in it. And everybody always says, well, just get more employees. I want to get employees. Guess what? That's a job. Because who's going to watch them employees? Got to hire somebody to watch the person, you know, to watch the people in the kitchen. We got to hire someone to watch the person that you hired to watch the people. Like, it's all a job. So that was his initial reaction. Yeah. But you know, they like, you know, if we really want something from our husbands, we know how to get it, okay? And I got my bakery girl.
And like, and years later, here we are.
Here we are.
Okay, so let's shift the conversation a little bit. So you say, okay, let's go into this baking industry. How did you get yourself out there knowing that it wasn't like you said, it wasn't like times now where it's like, oh, we have, you know, Instagram or we have this baking school. Like, what was your initial steps to putting yourself out there so that you can get clients?
I mean, we did have Instagram, and I started around the same time, or maybe they started a year before mm-hmm. me. So Instagram came out, what, 2009?
Yeah.
I think I ended. We started in our house in 2010. And for me, I'm a person who loves people. I love the energy of yeah. people, right? So I just took my baked goods out there first, you know, in my mortgage job. Like, I went to work and I just said, hey, taste this. I'm like shoving cupcakes if you like, taste this. So literally my neighbors, coworkers, every time we tried to develop a recipe, I'm like, what do you think? Here, taste this. What do you think? Yeah. What do you think? You know, I remember having cupcakes and like little pieces mm-hmm. right by the copy machines. And I had a sign, you know, I said, don't take a sample unless you're going to leave me a review. Like, because this ain't just fill y'all bellies. Yeah. Like, this is for a reason, yeah. right? And so that's how it started to evolve. And we just was in the lab and in the kitchen. And we started off with the red velvet and the pina coladas and French toast. And, you know, you see where I'm going
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
Like, something different, right? And I remember that red velvet recipe almost divorced us. Because, girl... Because like we talked about in the beginning, like, it has to be moist yeah. and flavorful and something different than what was already mm-hmm. out there. And for him and me, like, our taste buds were kind of different with yes. it. And he's like, no, it's not ready yet. And I'm like, no, it tastes good. And he's like, no, I don't taste the robust flavor. I'm like, what are you talking about? So literally that recipe took like months. And I was about to say, forget it. We're just not going to have red velvet. That's it. Like, we're not going to have it. But we got it together, and girl, to this day, we closed our bakery in 2021. It is 2023. I still get DMs and emails like, enough of this teaching thing. When are you going to open back up? Because I cannot find a red velvet like yours, and I'm fiending. I'm
yeah.
jonesing.
Yeah, that's a huge, listen, that's a huge
it worked.
Yeah. So he was doing the right thing by holding it. Okay, so you decide to open up this bakery, you start promoting, essentially you like go to your local community, local network, and say, hey, taste this, let me get your thought card, give me some reviews and feedback. At what point did it get to a level where you grew so much that you say, you know what, it's time to take it out of the home and into mm-hmm. kind of like the streets?
Yeah. So that was when first of all, girl, in the office, when the VP and the president started ordering cupcakes. Okay,
right.
So you know, yeah. But first of all, you ain't supposed to be selling
yeah.
nothing.
No, exactly.
So that's when I knew something. But I wanted to do farmers markets, right? So we didn't know anything about a cottage food, nothing. And I don't even know if we could have done it, but all I know was my township, the health department came out and they said, listen, we can't license you here because you're not on a commercial street. We were two houses from a commercial
wow.
street. So we were on a residential block, so they could not give us a health food license, mm-hmm. right, to sell. So we were kind of like raw and dirty because
yeah.
I wasn't going to
yeah.
stop. So we wanted to do farmers markets at that time in the house, and we couldn't because we didn't have that license. But we did find one event that allowed us to sell at the event. They didn't care about license. They just wanted the money. Fine, you can have okay. that, right? It was a big event, the Spring Fling. And I remember baking all day. It took 24 hours to bake like 350 cupcakes. Girl, when we went there and set up, those cupcakes were gone in like 15 minutes. And me and my husband looked at each other like, this is it. Okay, this is it. We got to do something. And then we just, like, what do? We don't have the money to get the storefront. Like, so we were deciding, like, what is the next step, right? Like, that's why I call my program Start Small, Win Big Academy, because what is the next step? Like, our big vision was the storefront, but we weren't ready at that time. We didn't have anything in place. So the next step was, well, we can't do any more events like this until we get a commercial kitchen. And again, like today, there weren't any commercial kitchen. There was one. Too expensive. My husband's handy. We found an office. It was an office building, and it said, hey, rooms for rent, $350. Sure, I'll take that, right? I could do $350. All we needed was a space that wasn't attached to our house. I didn't care what it looked like. We needed drain, water hookups, and a drainage and electrical hookups. And he said, well, you can rent the kitchen. You know, so imagine going into a dentist's office or a doctor's office, and you know where they go and get their coffee and water. That was our commercial kitchen. And girl, that was our bakery, because we had a half door that they had there, and we just opened up the top and people like leaned over and they ordered their cupcakes and then left. So that was our commercial kitchen / Bake First Bakery.
I love that. I love that you guys, like, y'all literally made it work. Like, it Girl. Was, it wasn't, because something you mentioned was our big vision was a bakery, but we didn't have the funds mm-hmm. for that at the moment. So it was like, well, what do we do? Like, obviously we're onto something. We sold out on these cupcakes within like 15 minutes, you know, but we're not quite licensed. So what do we do? And you guys made it work. You know, you navigated around like the vision, like, okay, we're not here yet, but this is what we can do in the interim. And I love that, because it worked and it puts you guys in the position to continue to, to continue to grow. So when you're in this place, clearly word of mouth starts getting around that, you know, there's this bakery that you poke your head in and you can order and get your cupcakes. What did you find were some of your challenges as you were, officially expanding from home mm-hmm. into a shop?
Yeah, well, first, I just want to back up and to note what you just said. I feel like that's where a lot of people get stuck. Mm-hmm. Like, they have the grand vision, but they don't know or realize, okay, I'm going to get there, but I have to take the stairs.
Yeah.
Right? And like, you can't just go from the bottom steps and just like leap yourself to the top of the stairs. Like, unless you got really long legs, and I have long legs and I can't even do that. Okay. So that's just not reality. So I try to encourage people to just, what is the next step?
Yes.
Like, don't worry about what's over there. Cause like, God already got that handle. Like, it's already written, yeah. Right? He just don't need you to be looking at that right now, because that's not your business. Right. Like, you just need to worry about how to make the next step work and master that, and then, you know, go to the next step. And so the challenges in that was, we were not on a street. It wasn't a storefront. So we still had the same challenges as a home baker. We just weren't in our home, in the sense that no one knew we existed unless we let them know.
Yes.
Like, that was a main street and no one knew we were there, no matter how many banners, little lawn signs we put down. It said taxes. It said, it was a diet doctor in there. I mean, come on. You go and get weighed and get your diet pills, and then they came and get a cupcake. Like,
you mess serious for real.
So like, they saw all of that. They were really looking at bakery, or a lot of people thought we were baking school. They would come in and they say, oh, do you learn how to bake here? Like, no, you can get your baked goods here, right? So we had that challenge where we had to be seen. We had to build a brand. We had to become known. We had to let people know we existed. And that is where we use the farmer's market. So now that we have that license, now that we have a commercial kitchen, okay, I want to do them all, right? So I went and I Googled and I said, farmer's markets near me. I went and called every single one of them. I stalked them. I went on their social media pages. I went on their websites. I wanted to see if they were popping, because if they weren't popping, I'm not going to waste my time. Because my whole thought was, I need to be able to get these cupcakes in the mouths of everybody fast in order for me to grow.
Yeah.
So we had all Sundays and Mondays. Mondays was my stalking days, where I would go and take cupcakes and brochures and business cards, and I would take them to organizers of the farmers markets. I would take them to stores. Girl, we sold our cupcakes in Sunoco gas stations. We sold our cupcakes everywhere. Yeah. Like, people, and so they started to say, well, wow, I see your cupcakes everywhere. Like everywhere I go, I see your cupcakes. That's intentional. Yeah, yeah. Like that's what I wanted. Thank you. It's working, right? So we started off with one farmer's market, and then I saw it was kind of like, it gave me the store effect, right? Because I would do the same farmer's market the same day for like a whole 2 months. And so I'm like, huh, okay, I'm seeing these people. They're loving the product. They're coming back. They're recognizing our brand, right? So now we have to be intentional with our brand. We got to wear branded shirts. We have to be, you know, professional. We have to, our customer service has to be spot on. We have to make it easy for them. And we got to let them know that we can do other things too, because I tell people all the time, upsell these people, like use this as your store until you get your store. So don't just be okay with selling them a couple of cake slices and making a $20 sale. No, let them know, hey, I do custom cakes. I do whatever it is that you do, right? And try to get them orders and turn that $20 sale into a $150 sale, right? So we started, creating our map, like our roadmap there, our systems, our processes there. So once we got that down, we're like, okay, let's do another farmer's market on a different night. Let's do another farmer's market. So we were doing like 4 farmer's markets. So that was essentially our business. And we just, you know, baked and sold what we could at the office building bakery, but it was bringing people down there because they were recognizing us from the farmer's markets. So I tell people, like, don't get stuck in your house, because everybody that, you know, comes to me, the majority of them have a cottage food license so they can sell at the farmer's market from their house. But you cannot stay hidden. You have to get out there. You have to let people know you exist. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with your product. It's just that they don't know you're there.
Yes. They don't know you exist. People can't know that you exist if you are not putting yourself out there. I think I just talked about this not too long ago. Like, I think a lot of people, especially in the social media era, feel like people should be coming to them. And the thing is, people cannot come to you if they do not know you exist. And sometimes, to be honest, you have to go to people because you are not at the top of their mind all the time. They might see it one time and say, oh yeah, that looks great. I'm gonna come back to that. And they forget about you because people got 50 billion things going on. You go to them. I love how you talked about you were in Sunoco, you know, the Sunoco gas station. You were at the farmer's markets. You were everywhere. Essentially, you know, you didn't give people the opportunity to forget. It was like, didn't I just see you last week? You did. Absolutely, you did. You saw me at the gas station as well. Yes, you did. Yeah. You know, and it gave people, like, you were going directly to the people for you to be able to see the results that you had. But I do want to step back for a second. You talked about the cottage license. Can you talk about what that is for an individual who may not know exactly what licensing in the baking industry looks like so that they can get into farmers markets?
Yeah, so I'm going to be honest. That's not my ministry. I don't know much about it, right? Because I only teach from my experience. Like if I didn't do it, I can't teach you. But from my students, it's a set of laws where you have to follow. They come in a lot of times. They come and inspect your house, your kitchen. You know, make sure everything's clean and everything. It's money, right? You got to pay the money for the license. But you have restrictions. Is what I hear. The restrictions is you can't make more than $50,000 a year. Okay, that's a problem. And you can't have, I forgot what they call it, tea something, but you can't have like fresh fruits in your frosting. You can't have like cream cheese frosting. You can't have, I guess, things that are going to spoil, I guess. Which, I mean, makes sense, right? But that's a problem for me. Like I tell people all the time, like, I'm sorry you have that license. You know, and that's really why I don't know much about it, because my job as a coach is to help them get rid of that license, like, and go into a commercial kitchen somewhere where they can really bust it out, like bust loose, right? Because you can't tell me I can only make $50,000. Like, that's easy. Like, my students come with me and they make a $50,000 like in a couple months, right? Well, that's a problem. And then you can't ship. And so a lot of them come to me, like you said, like they're on social media So if you're on social media, you're not just talking to the people that are in your community. You're talking to people all over, national, international, right? So, and they're always like, well, I always get people coming to me and asking, do I ship? But I don't ship yet. Because look at where you're marketing, right? So I feel like I know this is unpopular opinion, I can't stand social media. Because I feel like it's robbing people of humanity. I feel like people don't even know how to hustle right no more, sell right no more, talk to people no more, engage with people anymore. Like, we're losing all of that. And so, and then, but it's you hear all these marketing gurus, I call them gurus, right? And say, oh, post 8,000 times a day, 100,000 stories a day, do this TikTok, do that dance, do this. Like, you ain't got time for that. As a product-based business owner, you're creating, you're producing, you're delivering, you're cleaning. When on earth do you have time to sit on social media 24/7?
Setting up a camera at different angles so that you can get a documentation of you cleaning. You just try to clean and go home.
Go home, like, get out of here, get that delivery done. So that's where a lot of these product-based business owners get stuck again, because they're like, I'm not getting people, you know, my business is okay, but my profits suck. It's inconsistent. What's your marketing strategy? Well, social media, and that's it. Like, get out there. You got a physical product selling to real physical people in a real physical community. Get out there. Get out there.
And I think even with what you just said, getting out there, like the art of networking. Now, for me, I'm not like, I'm one of those people who I'm like an ambivert. Like, I don't get energy from talking to people too often, but it's like, I don't like small chat. I love good conversation, you know, in intimate spaces. But if you put me in a place filled with like people, then I'm just kind of like, ooh, all right, I'm just going to go get a snack in the back. So, you know, but one thing I do understand, or I've learned over the years, is the importance of networking, the importance of connecting, and not just like, oh, here's my business card and, you know, let me know if you need something so I can make money, but like really meaningful, deep relationships. And it's those relationships that you build that help you grow, you know, that help your business. Because social media is cool, you can meet people, but when you get outside and you go places and you talk to people, it opens up a world of a difference for you. So I love how you mentioned that and how you highlighted that. But one of the things I want to ask you is, you talked about going from place to place. For somebody who is like a home-based business, or, you know, like they're typically at home and they're mostly just posting on social media, and they're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. Do I just show up at the gas station and say, hey, I have a business, will you sell my product? Like, what would you say those steps look like for them to start putting themselves out there and going outside and kind of making those connections so that they can be in other places?
The art of storytelling. Like, plain and simple, I tell people all the time, they're like, oh, my competition, and I don't know if it don't matter. You are your own brand, right? Like, no matter what you sell, if you can articulate your story, if you can show your uniqueness through your story and attach it to that product, you're in. Yeah. And so you don't even have to be like, you know, I get a lot of introverts/shy people, because I broke that down too. Like, are you really an introvert or are you just shy, right? Because there's a difference. And so even those type of people, right? Even articulating your story and putting it on a brochure. Start off like that. Go on Canva, get yourself a brochure, plug in a piece of your story, why you started that business, why this product is you know, great, and what is it going to do for them? Like, I always say, give them the what's in it for me factor. Why are they going to put your product on their shelves? Why are they going to sell your product? Why are they going to even call you back? Right? So you got to give them those layers. It's the story, a little bit about the product, you know, convenience, you know, whatever it is, right? Couple specs, and what's the value in it for them? Put it in a brochure, right? Get some good photos of whatever it is your product is you're selling, right? Your contact information, sample. Here you go. give it to the right person though, because I've done that before where I gave it to some people who said, oh yeah, that'll be me. And they just ate it and that's it. Like they weren't the decision makers.
You never told the owner, nobody about it. No. And they're like, that was some good cupcakes.
Yes. Do your research, like, and figure out that person's name. I'm all about names, yeah. You know? And just like you said, build a natural relationship and say, hey, I know you're busy. You know, I looked around in your store. I noticed you didn't have blank. Here's my product. Here's a sample. Here's a brochure. Here's my business card. If you're interested, please call me back. A lot of times they're going to keep you there, look over and ask more questions, right? And sometimes they are really busy, but they will call you back. You know, if you give them something to remember, and that is your story. And everyone is so unique. Everyone's background is unique. Everyone's what they've gone through is unique. The reason why they started their business is unique. So people need to tap into that more and think about people are people.
Yeah.
If you want to collaborate with it, a company, it's still a person running that company. You know, treat your customers as people. They're not dollar signs. They're not money. They're freaking people.
Yeah.
And I think people, that's a lost art anymore. And so when they come across a business owner who actually sees me, sees you, you're going to stand out.
Yep. I think that all of it is so good. Treating people like humans, you know, mm-hmm. and actually seeing people. People want to be seen and they want to feel like they're being seen. And I think that is so important. But I love the script that you gave, you know, where you're like, you know, this is who I am, you know, this is what I'm selling, this is my story, like actually just talking and being transparent. I think a lot of people, again, going back to the social media era, there's a lot of, you know, and I hate to sound old, but it's a lot of like lack of transparency and fakeness in a sense. And so when you have somebody who just comes and it's like, this is who I am, you know, I might be a little quirky. I might be a little awkward, but I promise you, I got this bomb like pound cake that is going to take your business to the next level. You're going to have people coming in here specifically for this pound cake because it tastes that amazing.
Yeah,
it'll make a difference and it'll stand out. But even kind of going to you talked about being in the farmer's market, you know, before you even start talking about like stores and restaurants or anything like that, the farmer's market is a good way for exposure. So can you talk a little bit just about like the benefits that you've seen with being in the farmer's market? What was your marketing strategy looking like when you were strictly in the farmer's markets?
Mm-hmm. It was literally making sure that the product was on point. The customer service was the biggest part. And then when we had to start hiring people to do it, because we couldn't be everywhere at all times, right? I would hire people, students, right? Young students, young people, and give them commission because, you know how kids are, like they're on their phone, you know, and you're not gonna come to me and say, oh yeah, well, we had a slow day. Did you try to push them cupcakes? Okay. So no, you're not gonna get paid until I get paid. So the more cupcakes you sell, the more money you're going to make. So that was kind of like our strategy with the salary for employees. But everybody, we were lucky. I mean, we had a company, our employees loved our brand. They wanted to be a part of it. They saw us growing by leaps and bounds. They saw other people's reaction and they wanted to be a part of that. So we got lucky in that sense that we really had good people, but everybody had to be in sync, right? Everywhere we placed people, us, my husband, everybody had to be in sync with the brand, which was top-notch customer service.
Yeah.
Even if our product, which it didn't, because being a business of color, like, you know, a Black-owned business, you can't mess up. And I mean, that's not reality, but reality, our reality is, you gotta be perfect. And that's a lot on your shoulders. Yeah. So we had to go out there. Our branding had to be on point. You know, and we didn't even start off big. We started off with generic things until our money built up. And then we just swapped out, you know, a generic tent for a color tent. Or, you know, I went and got a tablecloth. My tablecloth was a sheet because I wanted hot pink because that was our colors. So it was a sheet. So until I could afford an actual custom, you know, tablecloth, I use the pink sheet. Like, utilize what you have. But the main thing is, when you're there, sell the product, tell your story to the people if you have the time, right? As many people as you can, yeah. right? Because that's what they remember. Yeah. Upsell as much as you can. Let them know, hey, I have this here, but this is my entire menu, yeah. right? You got QR codes now. You could do that easily, right? Testimonials, reviews are key. Again, another QR code. If they taste something right there, use something right there, wrap themselves up in a scarf right there, if that's your product, say, hey, this is QR code. Please give us a 5-star review. Try to get them to do it before they walk away. And a lot of people will, because once they walk away,
they forget,
yeah. right? So you need that. And then, but here's the key. Utilize network with the other vendors. And because a lot of the times the other vendors have stores already. Try to network with them, collaborate with them. It's an easy pitch because they see you there every week, every other week. They see your products. They see people lining up. It's a no-brainer yeah. for them to have your product in their stores. Yeah. So that's another way we started branching out with selling our products and wholesaling. It's by vending with the business owners in the community. So you have to make yourself known in a community. I always say, go for the leadership role. Like, you're a business owner, so you're a leader. Yeah. So make yourself the leader in your community. Don't hide or anything like that. Like, you're it. You have the product. You have something that they want, and take advantage of that. So basically, like I said, we kind of ran it and we kind of practiced like it was our store. And that's how we got the opportunity to sell our cupcakes to get a kiosk in the airport, because the lady was there shopping and she came across us, and unbeknownst to us, she came back and she was kind of like interviewing us. We had no wow. idea who she was, yeah. but she was just watching us, you know, how we sold, how we interacted with people, the energy, the product. She was listening to people. She said all this in email. She was listening to the feedback from our customers. And she said, they will be good in the airport. And that's when she contacted us. I will never forget that email.
That is amazing.
You never know.
That is amazing. The fact that you guys let your culture of your business, for one, because you said customer service was important to you and you made sure that was articulated across the board. But you let your product speak for itself as well. I love the fact that you mentioned that you networked with the vendors who were like around you guys, because you guys are all in the yeah. same space and the mm-hmm. mission is pretty similar. Like, hey, we all have this business. We're here to make a sale. You start talking to the next person. It's like, well, if you got a storefront, this is what I, you know, like the connection, it's almost like when we talk about hot audience and a cold audience, they're already like a warm lead for you, you know, like, because yeah. they already understand, like they understand the assignment essentially. So they're yeah. more open. So I love that you talked about, I love that you talked about that, because that is so, it's so important. It's very, mm-hmm. very important. Another thing I wanted you to touch on was, you talked about being in the farmers markets. What is the season for farmers markets for when they're open? Because I know there's like summertime, there's fall. Like, what's a good timeline to begin looking at a farmers market to say, okay, I want to start signing up. I got my, you know, I'm working in a commercial kitchen. How do I start registering to be in these?
Yeah, whatever that, the season before your market season. Right. So like, I am in, you know, like the northeast section of the United States. So our season is short, whereas some of my clients are down south and their season is like half the year. Yeah. Right. So like, I would say start maybe 2 months at least getting your, I'm all about spreadsheets. So my students laugh at me because like, Jen, another spreadsheet. Right. I'm all about spreadsheets because that's how I organize in my head. But whatever you do, do your research a couple of months ahead, right? See where the markets are. See, like I said, because all markets are not created equal. Yeah. Like, some of them are a little dusty and, you know, on the side of the road, and you're not trying to be a part of it. But you want one that's been around for a while. You want to check to see how long it's been around. You want to see, you know, the crowd, the demographic of the crowd, to make sure that demographic is the right fit for your product. Right. And so you to know also what type of product to bring, because there are certain demographics that only like mainly vanilla cakes, like, you know, like black folks, they like, don't give me no chocolate. I don't know what it is about chocolate and black folks, girl. But we don't do it.
I love chocolate. And everybody be like, how can you love chocolate? And I'm like, yes, give me, load me up with chocolate. I'm fine.
Yes. So, you know, we knew, depending on the demographic, you better keep some of the chocolate cupcakes home, right? But in other demographics, it's like, give me all the chocolate. So you, as a business owner, I always talk about think like a CEO. Because you want to, you're not just out there, hey, I got a product. Hey, here's my price. Hey, I'm just going to sell it. Like, no, that's hobby mentality. Yeah. If you're looking to, even if you want to keep it as your side hustle, that's fine. You still got to work your side hustle like a business. Absolutely. If you want it to give you a return, what you put in it is what you're going to get out, right? So you want to make sure that the, you know, the demographics and your brand, you're matching up the right product. And so then maybe a month before, start reaching out to these people and say, hey, can you get, you know, let me know. I'm introduce yourself, right? I have this product or this type of business, and I would love to be a vendor at your farmer's market. You know, can you let me know how to apply? And then they'll, you just go from there. And sometimes they'll say, oh, well, we already have too many of this, you know, business. We have too many of that business. Check back later. Some vendors don't do the whole market, and you might have to wait to the second half of the market. But just ask.
Yeah.
Just ask. Just call, talk to people, email, follow up.
Yeah.
A lot of times the success is in the follow-up.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. People don't talk about that enough either. People, mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people will reach out once and then they just fall back. And again, I think it boils down to the fact that you are not always going to be at the top of people's mind. I remember I was looking for a mentor, and it took me reaching out to her 7 times with her assistant before me and her can sit down and actually meet up. And she said, I appreciate that you followed up so many times. She was like, because it wasn't a reflection of you that I wasn't getting back to. It was just that I was busy. Right. And so the key, like you said, is in the follow-up. Now, before we wrap up, I do want to talk a little bit about your growth, because we talked about you going from being a home business, home-based business, to your first, you know, your first shop, to working in the farmer's market, having the airport kiosk, and then finally having your bakery. When you got to the point of growth, did you ever feel like you made it? Like where it was just like, you look back, you sat back and you said, man, I have officially arrived at where I've wanted to be.
I call that the new money. Girl, yes, I had that new money moment. So we went through our challenges getting into that store. So I just want to say that the farmers markets and having the consistency and the sales growth and, you know, all of that gave us the confidence to take that next leap of faith into our brick and mortar business. But before that, it was a huge challenge because now we did sell our cupcakes in the airport, but because we didn't really have that mentorship, because we didn't really know, you know, we went to SCORE and SBA and all that to try to get our business plan, official business plan. Once we knew, okay, now it's time for us to get into the storefront. No one really could help us write a business plan for a food business.
Yeah.
Right. Oh my gosh. And even to this day, it's like really not a lot of food physical business mentors out there. Like you got food bloggers, you got everybody on the internet helping everybody on the internet. But there's not a lot of people who say, okay, this is because the food industry, a food establishment is a whole different entity than every other brick and mortar. So no one really could help us there. So we were kind of like winging it. Even in the airport, we were winging it. And so we made a lot of bad decisions with that. You know, we decided that the airport was like an extension of our business when really it was its own thing. And that's how we should have treated it. Like that is how we were treating getting into a store. We should have treated that the same way, in a sense of we should have known how much it was going to cost us up front. We should have known how many more employees we were going to need to hire. We should have known that we were going to need a couple bigger mixers, you know, another oven, refrigerators, freezers, all the things, because that was a huge operation. So we made a lot of money, but a lot of money went out, and it went out faster than we were making it, because just being in an airport, the rent is crazy.
I believe it.
Crazy. I believe it. So we didn't know. And that's the purpose of a business plan. And that's another reason why I love teaching business plans, because you guys, like, you cannot make a step like that without having a business plan. So long story short, we made that step without having a business plan. We failed, you know, about 6 months in there, making tons of money, meeting tons of people. Oh my God. Walmart CEOs, Target CEOs, prime ministers, our cupcakes were shipping all over the place. And that's when we got on the Steve Harvey show as well. I forgot to mention that. Right. So we had our interview with Steve Harvey. Now we're a whole national company, and everything just came crashing down on us because we really didn't map out how this thing was going to go. Yeah. And then we had to end up, to save our business, to not fail and go back to working for someone, we had to file for Chapter 7 bankruptcy. And at that time, it felt like the end of my world.
Yeah.
But now looking back, it was like, God, that was so smart. Yeah. Because the word bankruptcy is so scary to people, right? And so if you don't know business, you're thinking that's the end. But no, that's your savior. Because without it, it would have been the end, because there was no way all of those bills, all that debt, there was no way that we could have sustained it.
Yeah.
So now that we had that bankruptcy, the same year we said, well, if we going to do it, if we going to get this storefront, this is going to be the time, or we ain't going to do it at all.
Yeah.
And that's when we decided to buckle down, teach ourselves how to write a business plan, what it meant to follow a business plan, and how to implement the steps of a business plan. And then that's when we, you know, raised the capital, got all the things, signed the lease, and we opened up within 12 months of filing bankruptcy. Because I refused, it was not an option to fail, period. I wasn't going to work for someone. I wasn't putting my kids back in school. I just was not leaving the lifestyle that I was building, that I wanted. And so we have this, you know, brick and mortar now. Because we were in farmers markets and doing farmers markets, everyone knew, they were waiting. They were like salivating at the windows, like trying to peek in, right? They couldn't wait. And so I think if it weren't for farmers markets, I don't really know if that outcome, if we would have taken off. Because a lot of times when you have a brick and mortar, people say once it dies down, the newness dies down, they struggle.
Yeah.
But we didn't have that. That was, we just soared.
Because you already had your fan base.
Because we learned.
You had your fan base.
We had the fan base. Yes. So your question was, when did you realize you made it? I would say about a year into our actual storefront, where people can literally drive and say, oh, bakery, let me park, right? And then with our shipping operation and then our wholesale operation in full effect, like that building was like 3,000 square feet. It was huge. And I just, a lot of times, looked around and I said, oh my God, I don't believe little me from Yadin, Pennsylvania, I got my own store.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then the new money started coming. And my husband, he getting this truck and all them cars. And hey, babe, let's go to the book a vacation in sandals. Let's go here. Let's go to that island. Okay. You know, and it was just everything that I ever wanted. And then we just started with, you know, now social media is shifting, and now you have all these coaches, and now you don't have people letting you know what's available, what opportunities are out here to do with your money. And I'm like, let's get smart with this thing, because we ain't going to be in this kitchen forever. Yeah. How do we make this work? How do we make this go farther than us, right? How do we make our money work for us? And that's when we started, you know, investing in just REITs and, you know, stocks and all these things. Yeah. And we started planning, you know, not right away, but we started planning our exit strategy. So everything essentially is a plan. Like, you just can't wing this thing. So I always say, like, the old adage, what is it? The best way to predict your future is to create it. Sometimes it takes 5 years, 6 years, 10 years to create that future. Everybody wants something now, something like this.
Exactly.
Right? And this reality ain't microwavable. I don't care what you see on social media. I always tell people, if you want to get rich quick, I'm not your girl. Please don't send me your money. I will return it. I will.
Yeah.
Like, I'll return it. But if you want to play the long game, I'm your girl. Because I will show you how to create that legacy, sustain that legacy, build wealth off that legacy. That's what we did from cupcakes, girl.
Yeah.
Cupcakes. So now I'm living my best life. My dream life is peaceful. It ain't flashy. I've never been a flashy girl. If you look on my Instagram, It's me in my garden, me with my kids, yeah. me in the hot tub with my husband, just me chilling. Because that's what I worked for.
Yeah.
And so if that's what you want to do, I tell people, if you want to, whatever success means for you, I can help you get there.
Yeah. You said a mouthful. I feel like I got to have you back on another, like session or something, because there's a lot that people can take away, especially, like I said, product-based business. I'm more so focused on skill-based, you know, turning your skills into your side hustle. But when it comes to product, it's like you said, like, it's not a microwavable thing. It's not a, oh, you're going to make $10,000 tomorrow. You know, like, it's just not that. You're just getting started. And so for individuals who are interested, because you do have a school where you are teaching people how to build their product-based business and generate that six figure and see that success that they desire for themselves, where can they find you? Where can they find your information? How can they connect with you?
Connect with me. I'm mainly on Instagram. So it's at @Rob_JenMorris. That's Jen with one N. And they can go, I would say, start with my website. It's MorrisSchoolOfBusiness.com.
Okay.
So MorrisSchoolOfBusiness.com. And I literally break down for you, like, here's your step one, here's your step two. If you're still confused with these steps, book a call. And then I'll walk you through the process. But I just wanted people to just, you know, take the small steps, and I will take them with you. You do not have to do it alone.
Yes.
Nor should you.
Yeah. You shouldn't. You shouldn't. There's success in community, and there's success in mentorship when you're partnered with the right mentor. So yeah. Thank you, Jen. This has been amazing. It really has. As somebody, like I said, who baked in, you know, in my former years of life, it's always refreshing when I see somebody who has taken, you know, something that most people deem as a hobby and turned it into a multiple six-figure business. So I appreciate that you came on here to not only just share your story, but to share tips for other individuals who may be in similar fields and are thinking that they can't necessarily grow to the levels that they desire because they've never seen it before. So I will be sharing all of your information in the show notes, okay? Instagram, your website, because I really do hope that people who are interested will invest in themselves so that they can see the success, because it's important.
It is. Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed our talk, girl. It's like we sit on the couch.
I appreciate that. All right, guys. Well, until next time. Toodles. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Side Hustlepreneur podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to rate and review the podcast. And if you haven't subscribed, what are you waiting for? To keep up with me outside of the podcast, you can follow me on Instagram at the Side Hustle Podcast, or you can join the Side Hustle family by subscribing to my weekly newsletter at thesidehustlepreneur.com. See you next time.